Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I want to welcome you to the show today, the Buckmaster Show, on this Thursday, 27th of February already, 2014. We are live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Makes it very easy for you at your computer to just plug us in and hear the program that way. And of course, you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting my website, buckmastershow.com. And we have links to the show on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, and blog for Arizona.com all have prominent links to our website, and we thank our media partners for that. During the noon hour, we'll talk with one of the leaders in the movement to put the southern portion of Pima County into Santa Cruz County. What is this movement all about? And then about 30 minutes or so past the hour, the co-authors of a new biography on the legendary artist Ted DeGrazia. That is coming up today during our noon hour. And earlier this month, the bill was introduced by State Senator Gail Griffith of Cochise County. The legislation, which the senator later withdrew, would move the Santa Cruz County line north to include Green Valley, Sahorita, and the proposed Rosemont Mine. Joining me in studio is Don Woolley. Mr. Woolley lives in Sahorita. He is former LD, Legislative District 2 Chair, and one of the leaders of this Move the County Line movement. Don Woolley, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Now, former state senator, just a little history on this move, the movement to move the line. It started, I believe, with former state senator Representative Randy Graf. He floated the idea a couple of years ago, and then this year Senator Griffith brought it out again, and again it was dead on arrival. Is it still alive, Don Woolley?
Yes, it is still alive, Bill. We have formed committees in the two counties, Santa Cruz and Pima County, and the committee members are continuing to educate people on this potential economic development project, and we will keep working down the road to make this happen.
And why? Why should you move down the road to make this happen? Why is this an important issue, in your opinion?
We really feel like the Sahorita-Green Valley area is more connected to southern Arizona, down toward the border, toward Nogales and Santa Cruz County. We're kind of losing our economic development traction in the city of Tucson and the county. There are problems in the county and in the city that we are concerned about. We look to the south because we think about the I-11 project coming right in on Sahorita Road, which will connect Sahorita with the northern part of the state. And we think that's where our opportunity is.
Do you think you're being neglected by the county administrator and the Board of Supervisors?
I don't know if we're being neglected, but we know we're not getting the best return for our buck with Pima County, and we'd like to see that change.
Don Woolley is with us. If you think it's a good idea to move parts of our county, Pima County, into Santa Cruz County, we would love to hear you one way or another. Mr. Woolley would also be happy to entertain your questions and comments. The live line number, 790-2040, 790-2040, to speak with Don Woolley. What about the issue of the Rosemont Mine? Some have speculated that this is really about that Rosemont is behind this.
Yeah, in my opinion, Bill, and in the committee's opinion, Rosemont has never been part of our discussion group. We've had several very private meetings, and when the talk of this was initially leaked out to the Arizona Star, and we're not sure who did that, but they printed the article, and that kind of started the wildfire that you know came to be because of the anti feelings about this. But we really feel like Rosemont is not an issue at all. I mean, Rosemont is where it's at, and whatever happens there is going to happen under the federal and state laws, and we're not part of that. We just want to get the ties made with Southern Arizona and Nogales and Santa Cruz County.
Wouldn't it be a huge effort to do this? Wouldn't there have to be a vote?
Yeah, the way it's set up right now, the entire county of Pima County, in the statutes, it's set up so that you have to have the vote of the county, and then Santa Cruz County would be involved with that too. But the idea of the legislation is, and it was never intended to draw the line in the legislation. The idea of the legislation was to get the two areas, the affected area and Santa Cruz County, to vote and educate the people on whether they really wanted this or not. So it will go to a people's vote, and that's our goal.
What about school districts, Don Woolley?
School districts, we're still putting a lot of study and thought into the school districts to make sure we don't impact the Sahuarita School District and the Continental School District down in that area. And, of course, the Santa Cruz has several school districts down in Santa Cruz County. So that's all being evaluated at this time.
Would you vote for it? That's what we're asking our Buckmaster Show listeners. Would you vote to have Pima County move to Santa Cruz County? 790-2040. We'd love to hear from you. Weigh in on this subject, 790-2040. Don Woolley is one of the leaders in this movement to get a portion of the southern portion of Pima County into Santa Cruz County. And there was an op-ed piece by Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, who represents that district, and Stan Riddle, who is the president of the Green Valley Council. This was in the Green Valley News. Our friend editor down there, Dan Shear, had this published. And basically, Don Woolley, it says, Mr. Carroll and Mr. Riddle saying, there is absolutely no benefit to these two communities, referring to Sahuarita and Green Valley, or to the two mines, the Fremont, McMoran, and Asarco, to relocate the county line. That leaves just one entity that would benefit, and that is the proposed Rosemont Mine and its supporters. What do you say to them about that?
I would say that the advantages, Bill, that I see, and we note this in our PowerPoint presentation that we've put together, which we'll try to make available to anyone that would like to see it. The advantages are, we believe, for Sahuarita Green Valley, lower taxes, better political control of their future, a shared community of interest with the Santa Cruz Valley. We're connected to the Santa Cruz Valley, not only on the water issues, but many other things. The advantages of Santa Cruz County would be lower taxes and enjoy the benefits of a more competitive political environment, with an increased tax base to support their needed services, such as a community college and their fire districts. Advantages to the mines would be lower taxes, relief from Pima County right now. You know, the mines are actually valued by the state. The state determines the value of the mines, and then the counties that the mines are in level the tax rate according to that valuation estimate.
Who is involved with this? And I know Supervisor Carroll, you took issue with him when he was on our program February 6th about the way he had characterized the group that is backing this. Who are the principal backers?
Principal backers are, there's a state legislator, an ex-state legislator in Santa Cruz County, who I think everybody has seen his name. Emmett McLaughlin is involved in that county, forming the committee. I'm working with a committee here. My wife is on the committee, and some other friends of ours. We're all Republican precinct committeemen. We are. I was an ex-LD2. I am an ex-LD2 chairman. I was the chairman and nominated and voted as the chairman when we reformed the district. And these people just all believe in economic development and furthering the interest of Sahuarita and Green Valley. We were labeled as an extremist group, and we're far from that. And I do want to say that Ray Carroll came up to me and apologized personally for that comment that he made.
I know you were very upset about his remarks on our show. In fact, you wrote a letter, you and your wife, to the Green Valley News that was published about what you called a personal attack on the Buckmaster Show by Supervisor Carroll. Now, you're saying Supervisor Carroll has apologized to you publicly?
He has apologized to me face-to-face with one of his staff members at a Lincoln Luncheon dinner a few weeks ago. But however, publicly, I think he still needs to do that. He needs to apologize to my wife, Patty Woolley, and to Sue Mays, who he also included in his comments.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. 790-2040, 790-2040. What do you think of Mr. Woolley's idea? Let us hear from you on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, our Thursday edition. It's coming up now on 12:15. We will be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. Biosphere 2, open daily, north of Tucson, America's science city.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life. Stay healthier and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and we are here 12:04 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI on the Buckmaster Show. All of the shows are posted to our website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. Don Woolley is with us. Don is one of those leading the charge to try to move the portion of the southern portion of Pima County into Santa Cruz County. There had been some accusations that Rosemont Mine was behind this. Don, are you getting any money from Rosemont?
No, sir.
I mean, they're not funding this effort.
Absolutely not.
And why was Senator Griffith, who represents District 14, why was she chosen to propose this in the legislature to move the county line, which would affect, really, Districts 2 and 16?
Yeah, I think, Bill, in my opinion, Emmett McLaughlin knew Senator Griffin. He was an ex-constituent of hers before they redrew the lines in redistricting, so he knew her and made that contact with her and briefed her on what we were trying to do.
Do you think the residents of Sahuarita and Green Valley are in favor, would be, if there was a vote today, would be in favor of this?
If there was a vote today, I would probably say no, because, you know, the education process hasn't taken place, and that's what we're trying to do now.
And Santa Cruz County, Don Woolley, has a high unemployment rate, 17.3%, compared to Pima County's about 6.5%. Why would this be advantageous to have your area join up with a county that is economically depressed?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Santa Cruz County is really, when it was drawn back in the 1800s, when the county lines were drawn, it is the smallest population-wise county with a very, very, very low revenue stream. And we think that in order to get the economic development that's needed down there, Sahuarita and the Green Valley area, particularly the town of Sahuarita and the town council, we've got to link up with the Port Authority down in Nogales, whom we've talked to. There are several gentlemen down there, prominent business people, that are leading the charge and help build the new Mariposa Port of Entry project. They were in on that. These are prominent businessmen down there. We need to link them up. And you know, when you get the finances and the revenue stream going, then you're able to put together a real economic development program and some incentives for other things to happen down in that area.
During the last budget cycle, Santa Cruz County raised its primary property tax rate by 60 cents to $3.42. Pima County's rate was about $3.66, so seems like there'd be kind of a wash there.
Right now, here's the data that we're using, Bill, to look at this. We say, and it was stated in a previous article in the Green Valley News, that taxes would triple. The combined property tax right now in Pima County is a little over $9 per $100 of assessed valuation. Santa Cruz County right now is in the $6 range. And we think that means that property taxes would go down by a third in both areas. So we think that's an advantage.
And Santa Cruz County has a 1% sales tax. Pima County does not. So that would seem to be a disadvantage for you.
It is, we do believe right now in Pima County, we have a regional transportation tax, which is a 0.5% for Pima County. And Santa Cruz has the 1% sales tax. Those are concerns. Other concerns are in the area, maintaining the libraries and the Green Valley Sheriff's Substation, which is their law protection. We have our own police force in Sahuarita, so we're not very affected by the change in the sheriffs, but certainly Green Valley would be. So those are all things that we're evaluating, the taxes, the libraries, and the substation.
So this is really the beginning of an education process. This is the first time we've really delved a little deeper into it, at least on our show. But so you're saying that this is not going to go away, this issue, Don Woolley?
Yes, sir. That's true, Bill. We are going to keep working this, educating people, trying to get them to understand the advantages. We're working with some of the town council members in Sahuarita. We're talking to the town manager down there, Kelly Udall. We have a meeting with him next week. So we're going to keep plugging away and educating people in both counties. Emma McLaughlin is working hard in Santa Cruz County, meeting with the folks in Nogales and the Nogales Port Authority. And, it's not going to go away. We really feel like this is the future for our area.
Have you talked to Chuck Huckleberry about this?
We have not talked to Chuck Huckleberry about this at all, no.
Do you think that might be, would that meeting gain you anything, do you think?
We'd probably have to evaluate that. I don't know if it would gain anything or not. So much was said right after the article came out in the Star, and which we think was kind of a negative campaign put together right away to just completely defeat this before it even got started. But we're not deterred. We're going to press on and educate people. And perhaps down the road we'll meet with one or two county supervisors and Chuck Huckleberry.
All right. We'll ask Mr. Huckleberry about it when he's with us 1 week from tomorrow here on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, by the way, we have the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, who gave his State of the City address yesterday. Don Woolley, I want to thank you very much for, as you say, starting this education process in your particular movement. And where can people find out more information? You had mentioned a PowerPoint.
Yeah, we have a PowerPoint presentation. We'd love to share that with people. You can write to Emmett at McLaughlinRealty.com. McLaughlin is McLaughlin. And Emmett will get that presentation to you, or they can contact me. I know a lot of the listeners probably have my contact information already, and we'd be happy to share that with them because it's a good presentation.
Don Woolley, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill, very much.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 Reverse Osmosis Drinking Water System is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The legendary Tucson artist Ted DeGracia died in 1982, yet his controversial figure lives on in Tucson history at one of Southern Arizona's most popular tourist attractions, the DeGracia Gallery in the Sun in the foothills of the Santa Catalina Mountains. Now there's a new biography titled DeGracia, The Man and the Myths, reveals the eccentric, colorful man behind the many myths surrounding this legendary artist. The co-authors of the book, published by the University of Arizona Press, are with me in studio. James Johnson. Jim is a retired journalism professor at the University of Arizona. He taught for 25 years at the UA. A veteran newspaper man, he's published 6 books, including 2 by UA Press, Mo, The Life and Times of Morris K. Udall, and Arizona Politicians, The Noble and the Notorious. Marilyn Johnson is a former reporter and copy editor at The Oregonian, The Arizona Republic, The Arizona Business Gazette, and The Tucson Citizen. Jim and Marilyn, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to be here.
Jim, let's begin with how this project, maybe we should actually begin with people telling people about the artist Ted DeGracia. Who was he? I mean, people who've been around Tucson for a long time know about him, but we have, of course, so many newcomers that may not know about this guy.
Well, first of all, you start off by saying he's a character. everybody would recognize he's probably one of the most familiar faces in town when he was alive and getting about because of his garb as an old prospector. But he was a very talented artist who struggled for a long time to make a career out of his artwork, and he finally caught the magic, I would say, in the late 40s, and started with his famous pictures of the little girls with the blank eyes Flower Girls and so forth. But he that was called as kitsch sort of work, but he did some very nice paintings that I think that the critics didn't take enough notice of. But so he was controversial in a sense of what he painted and how he painted.
Marilyn, how did you and Jim come to this project?
It started in, I believe, January of 2010. Domingo, his son, was going to play. He plays the guitar, Nuevo Flamenco music, up at the gallery. And we went up to hear him and got there 2 hours early. And in standing out in the yard area, a woman came up and started talking to us. And it turned out to be Carol Locas, the great love of de Grazia's life, the last 11 years of his life, and Domingo's mother. And we were so charmed by her stories that we kind of went inside the gallery and said, let's find out more about this guy. We went into the store and found out there was no biography. So the light bulb went on.
Is this the first biography, then, that you're aware of?
There have been two biographies that were done during his lifetime, and they're both copy table books that he basically dictated. He was a very private person. He didn't like to know a lot of people, let people know a lot about him. And so this is the first book to really get behind de Grazia. I don't think it could have been written when he was alive. He wouldn't have cooperated much.
A lot of people still know and knew de Grazia that are still alive. And did you tap into those folks for source material, Jim?
Well, we did. Unfortunately, most of them that knew him have passed on. They have 50 oral histories that were just invaluable tools. They might not have asked all the questions I would have asked because they were generally friends of de Grazia's, and I think the people who were doing the interviewing were not asking as hard of questions as I may have asked, but they were invaluable. The stories in there, the anecdotes in there were just amazing stories. And I re-interviewed some of them. We interviewed Carol Locas, which is who Marilyn was talking about.
Is Carol still alive?
Yes, Carol's still alive. And de Grazia's stepson, Hal Grieve, I interviewed him.
Right. And is he still one of the board? Or is he the original, one of the original?
Yes, he was.
Members of the de Grazia Foundation.
Yes.
Right. And I think we need to talk a little bit about his complicated personal life. I mean, it gets a little, the bloodline gets a little mixed up. Marilyn, maybe you can kind of summarize it.
Are you talking about his wives?
Yeah, the wives, yeah.
He was also had a reputation as a womanizer. We have to say that.
Yeah, of course.
He was married first to Alexandra de Amos. She's the mother of three of his children. Her father owned movie theaters throughout southern Arizona, so they were quite wealthy. And what?
The Fox.
Yeah, he owned the Fox Theater in downtown Tucson, sorry. And their marriage lasted, I don't remember how many years, Jim, do you remember?
About 10 or 11, I believe.
10 or 11.
Yeah.
And then Marion de Grazia, who I actually knew and became friends with, who passed away at the age of, I believe, 97 in 2002, she would have been Mr. de Grazia's second wife?
She was his second wife.
Second wife.
Yes.
And then there was the lover.
Carol Locas, the last 11 years. And in between, who knows who else.
You know, one of the myths about that probably maybe the, I don't know how much of it is myth, is the IR that Ted de Grazia's run in with the IRS. How did all that come about?
Well, when he was looking at the end of his life, he was going to figure out what he was going to do with his paintings and so forth. And if he had left them to his children, they would have had to pay taxes based on what they would have sold the paintings for in the open market. But if he were to donate the paintings, say, to a school or something, his tax write-off only would have been the canvas and the paint and the wood frames. And he didn't think that was a fair way to treat this thing. So that was part of why he made a statement by going into the superstition and burning some of his paintings to show the IRS that I'd rather burn them than do what the IRS wants me to do with it.
And there's film of that, I think, wasn't there, of the ceremony burning the I think that was caught on film, wasn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh. And that was an interesting thing because he told a friend of ours, and a lot of people in town know him, just passed away recently, Abe Chan, and he told Abe, he said, you know what, he says, those weren't any of my best paintings. And they said it at a time, the newspaper said it was $1.5 million worth of paintings, and he said, those weren't some of my best paintings. And he said, the other thing was, he said, you know, all of that publicity, I'm actually selling more paintings now than I did before we burned the paintings. So was it a little bit of a marketing genius in there, too, about knowing what attention he would get? And that's what he did a lot.
One of his friends called him a publicity machine.
Really?
He never advertised in his whole life. He never had to. He just knew how to get attention.
The gallery in the Sun up on North Swan, was that the mid-60s, Marilyn, when that opened up? And how did all that come? But that was that the original studio, or no, there was another studio downtown? Is that correct, Jim?
When he was towards the end of his marriage to Alexandria, he built a studio at Prince and Campbell, which is now where there's a Chevron station there. And maybe built it kind of piecemeal. He said he couldn't get galleries to show his artwork, so he said, I guess I'll have to build my own studios so that I can put my own pictures in there. And that didn't even work very well in the early times because he would put pictures out. He said, I leave them out on the street all night and nobody would even steal them. So that was the first one. But then he felt like, we think about it now, we kind of laugh, but we think of Campbell and Stone as being way out in the boonies then, mm-hmm. and they were, mm-hmm. civilization was creeping in on him, so he decided he wanted to go up to the foothills and build the mission. That was his first project up there, the mission to Our Lady of the Guadalupe.
And I think Marion, the second wife, was instrumental in that move to get the gallery established up there on North.
Well, I think so. Marion, I think, gets a bad rap in a lot of ways. She tended to be the brains behind the business operation, and what she did is to allow him to go out and do his thing and take out the desert, take his pictures, and work on his paintings. And I was a secretary, dishwasher, packaging clerk, business manager, and everything. And she was very instrumental in doing that. But he met her about the time that he was building that studio. And they hit it off pretty well, and she was through this whole thing. Once they got the gallery at the Sun built up at the top, she never really went back down to the studio downtown. She didn't like that one.
And there's a tremendous amount of his work, Marilyn Johnson, that is still in print, correct?
Oh, he's considered the most reproduced artist in the world.
Isn't that
to
amazing?
This day.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's astounding, the reproduction, and of course the UNICEF children's Christmas cards, probably he is most famous for. How did UNICEF come about getting involved with that? Someone had seen some of his work? Jim?
Well, I think somebody had seen that picture and thought that it would make a good cover for the Christmas cards, of which they sold 5 million. So I guess it was pretty. But he was with two famous artists at the same time who were working for UNICEF,
Marc Chagall and Tamayo from Mexico.
Right. Yeah, some of the early work is really fantastic. I think he worked with Diego Rivera in
yes.
Mexico on some of the mural projects. Before we take a break, I think we're going to take a question about some of the early days. Andy is on the Buckmaster Show live line, and we're going to have Andy talk with Marilyn Johnson and Jim Johnson, James Johnson, about their book, which is titled De Grazia, The Man and the Miss. Go ahead, Andy.
Yes, I wanted to ask the authors. I heard somewhere that in his early days he was an airplane mechanic.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. He worked during the war for Consolidated Volte out at the airport, and he used to do some paintings while he was out there. He would paint underneath the airplane when he was getting away from the summer heat. He has a picture that he painted of the one of the bombers that they were building, too. It's a mural that he painted. Yes, I'm not sure how long that was. It was a couple of years after he left as the manager of the old Lyric Theater downtown.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with the authors of a new book, DeGrazia, The Man and the Miss, when we continue this portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moncada Construction, licensed, bonded, and insured. Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting, drywall repair, carpentry, and insurance restoration. Call 520-390-2247 or on the web at Moncada, that's M-O-N-C-A-D-A, construction.com. And yes, they welcome credit cards. We'll be right back. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Really nice outing, and it's close by, relatively close, mile-high elevation, really beautiful time of year. You got the Gila National Wilderness. Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for the full list of the great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge and the many activities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're speaking with the authors of a new book, De Grazia, The Man and the Myths. The authors, James Johnson, retired journalism professor at the University of Arizona. He taught there for 25 years. And his wife, Marilyn Johnson, a former reporter and copy editor at numerous newspapers. She is the co-author of the book. Marilyn, what do you think the legacy of Mr. De Grazia is?
Well, of course, all the artwork that he left.
Which will live on forever,
yes,
right?
Yes. He, at some point in his life, he stopped selling originals and only sold prints. So the gallery has quite a large collection. And, of course, the Gallery in the Sun, which is on the National Register of Historic Places. I think there's also a legacy in just the character that De Grazia was that people knew.
I'd like to add something to that, because he's written a lot of books and illustrated books about the Southwest that are historic in nature, historical in nature, and I think that's part of his legacy as well.
Tucson was never really that welcoming. The art community kind of thumbed their nose at Ted DeGrazia's work. How have the critics remembered him? The work?
Not kindly, I'm afraid.
And why do you think that is, Jim?
Because they tend to be snobbish, I think, somewhat. And
one of our friends who's an artist said that she thinks it's because he was one of the pioneers in learning to, he didn't license his art, but the critics called it kitsch, because mm-hmm. he put his art on what, keychains and bank checks and
magnets
yeah. and Christmas decorations. And that's how he made a lot of money. And that was considered in his day, you know, kitsch. It was a violation of the integrity of art. Nowadays, artists do it all over the place. So had he lived to be, you know, 100 and some, he probably would have been appreciated more.
What age did he die? He died in 1982. How old a man was he?
He was 73.
And did he have health issues?
Yes, he had prostate cancer, and he tried a lot of Indian remedies and whiskey remedies, and I think he did some chemo stuff. But by the time that he found he had it was a little too far gone. So he died in the gallery, in his house in the gallery, in what they call the nun's house, and he's buried there on the campus.
You know, in the title of the UA Press book, De Grazia, The Man and the Myths, really this is a comprehensive biography. Right there is the myths. I think we should spend a little more time about talking about some of the more prominent myths. You want to clarify some of that, Jim?
Sure. Probably the biggest one that he told was that he had like 9 wives and 16, 16 or 17 children, and lost track of how many grandchildren he had. And I think other myths would be that, like, things like he ate cats and dogs when he was poor, and he was trying to make a living and couldn't get by on his artwork. His drinking was kind of legendary too, and I really had a hard time getting a handle on that. Some people said that it was exaggerated. Other people said you didn't say he drank enough, but he made a point of acting like a big drinker. That was part of the thing.
That was part of the persona, wasn't it?
Yeah, he said out front, people expect artists to be eccentric, so I'm eccentric. and he also said that's the way to protect his privacy, by throwing other stuff out there to deflect from knowing the real Ted DeGrazia.
There's a we kind of think he began all this after he built the Campbell Prince Studio. He sort of started to come into his own then. And there's a story in the book that a friend saw him at a, I think it was a junior chamber of commerce sale. He had his little cactus bowls there that day. And the friend said he glanced over in the corner and saw this guy, and then he took a second look and realized it was Ted and went over and said, "What are you doing here? You look like a bum that crawled out of the fields." And because DeGrazi had started dressing in jeans and, you know, cowboy hat and red handkerchief in his back pocket.
Kind of going bohemian.
Yeah, well, he liked to whip that handkerchief out at the most inappropriate moments.
Oh, my goodness.
And DeGrazi looked up at this friend and said, "Shh, I've discovered this sells."
It sells, indeed. Yes. Let's go back now to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Gloria would like to make a comment with Jim and Marilyn Johnson, the author, co-authors of DeGrazia, The Man and the Mist. Go ahead, Gloria.
I'm a Buckmaster groupie, I think.
Thank you. Thank you, Gloria.
I remember going to the Father Kino Museum in Senio, Italy, in northern Italy, and they said, "We want to show you something very special," and they got out a special key, opened a special cabinet, and there was a whole portfolio of DeGrazia paintings.
Wow.
Well, prints, you know, the very high-quality prints. And when they came here a couple years ago, and we were talking about what they wanted to go visit and so forth, they said they had to go to the DeGrazia Museum.
Wow.
Were these prints of Father Kino's from the book?
It's his relatives and friends from the village of Senio and the little town of Trento in the near the Italian Alps.
Well, Gloria, you do bring up a good point that many tourists, it is certainly, that's really on the list of places, isn't it, Marilyn?
Yes,
that,
it
that,
is.
That tourists want to go to. All right. Gloria, thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. And let's go back now to talking with Jim and Marilyn Johnson about DeGrazia, The Man and the Mist. What happened now to the foundation, the DeGrazia Foundation? How is it doing, Jim Johnson?
It's had hard times like many organizations are now because of, the economy's been poor for some time. It's hurt their stock portfolio some. Not a great deal, but it's not. It hasn't been going up as it had in the past. Tourism is down because people aren't traveling as much because of the economy. So, when at one time they may have gotten 130,000 people visiting there in a year, they're probably down around 50,000 to 70,000 somewhere in that neighborhood now. So those are people who would buy stuff, some of his paintings, or buy things in the gift shop. So that's cut into their finances somewhat. But they're solid. They're not going to go under by any means. They're certainly.
Some of the originals are really amazing from his work in Mexico from the 1930s. I would think, I don't know how the art market is viewing that, but probably though some of the originals would be very pricey, Marilyn.
Some of them, I think a lot of them are now going for around $10,000.
There's some that could be at $30,000. Mm-hmm. Some of the really, but yeah, they're getting a decent price.
And Marion, who I did know, and actually she gave me a little, she was quite a artist in herself and did a lot of pottery. I have a very nice little vase that she gave me, and she was quite a character. I mean, she really, I didn't ever meet Ted DeGrazia, but she seems like the two of them must have been quite a couple around town.
Well, they were. Their relationship was never real strong in the later years. She took to drinking quite heavily, and she got angry, I think, because Ted was gone so much. If he's part of the womenizing thing, or out in the desert where he or went out with his buddies drinking and so forth, and he wasn't home all that much, and I think she really regretted that.
Jim, quickly, Marilyn.
Well, I just wanted to add, I kind of have a feeling for Marion because she was lonely, for one thing. He started wandering in early childhood. I mean, his mother would have to tether him to the kitchen table to know where he was.
Wow.
And all his life, he would just take off and not even tell her he was going and just disappear. He'd go up to the reservations. So she was left at the gallery. She says in the book, "I work, 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 work." And she basically sacrificed her own art career for him.
Yes, as I say, she was quite an artist. Jim and Marilyn Johnson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
The book is De Grazia, The Man and the Miss, published by UA Press. The release party for De Grazia, The Man and the Miss, published by UA Press, will be Saturday evening, this Saturday, 5:30 to 7:30, at the Gallery in the Sun, 6300 North Swan Road. Admission is free. The Johnsons will also be discussing their book at the Tucson Festival of Books, Sunday, March 16th, in the Santa Rita Room in the UA Student Union from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brad, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Rose and I wish you a great afternoon and evening. We'll be back with you with the mayor tomorrow, 12:04 on the Friday Focus.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.